This episode is sponsored by Hulu. The reality queen herself, Lisa Vanderpump, has a new home on Hulu and has teamed up with them to bring you the newest, most exciting reality series yet, Vanderpump Villa. In an escape to the French countryside, Lisa and her staff work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. The series offers first-class luxury with world-class drama. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture. From the classic reality TV moments of the past and present, to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. This one is for you today, tonight, tomorrow, this weekend. We have done it, folks. We have reached the season finale of season 11 of Vanderpump Hell, Vanderpump Rules, and we are going to do a full recap today. We are going to talk about a lot of things. I'm already coming in hot. oh my goodness. What a sad, depressing, dark finale, which I think is very fitting for season 11. I am ready to burn this mother humper to the ground and exorcise these demons. And I don't know if we can put this to bed, but I am certainly willing to try to move on. My God, we have a three-part reunion that starts this upcoming Tuesday, and then we'll officially be done. But we finally saw the finale. We finally got to see what Lala Kent said we would understand. We would understand exactly. We finally found out that Ariana is a serial killer, that she has been killing hobos in her spare time. And it finally got brought up in the last 5 minutes. And it turns out she is an awful, horrible human being. No, none of that happened. My God. Holy shit, folks, we're friends here, right? We're friends, we're family at this point. I'm going to have my take on this, right? And you probably already know what it is. And if you have a different take than me, that's completely fine. We can shake hands, we can be friends. Let's not fight with each other. I fully support if you want to start a podcast and you can talk about how dead on that you think Lala was, but I do not. I feel like somebody got really lost in the sauce, and I am trying to rationalize why we saw what we saw, especially out of Lala. I mean, I feel like we have never had something so, I mean, this was on a silver plate this season. All you had to do was come together as women and say, hey, men are stupid. Stupid, dumb, dumb men. Stupid, idiot, dumb, dumb men. I mean, it was right there. It would have been so easy. We could have still moved on from there, but we could have just had one season where each time the women were around men, you say how horrible men are, and then you high five, and then we all laugh. And we go, yeah, no, you're right. The fact that we have women turning against women, you will never get me to understand the vitriol that was coming out of Lala Kent's mouth. And especially, listen, if you don't want your heart palpitations to just explode, do not watch the Vanderpump Rules after show on Peacock, but I did. And within 5 minutes, Lala made it worse. Lala doubled and tripled down in a way where I was like, this seems so personal. Like, I feel like I am just missing a huge piece of information. I don't know. I don't know if it's just that we've all accepted that the men are dumb and that in some ways Tom Sandoval is irredeemable when it comes to female relationships, that we've like kind of accepted that and now we are trying to pick apart the women. Like, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. And the thing is the camera, like I always say, by some weird alchemy, picks up the truth. Even if somebody is lying to you on camera, it will still pick up truth. You can kind of read it. You can sense bullshit a mile away when a moving image is captured. And we saw it. And listen, I'm not saying that Tom Sandoval is not completely irredeemable in life. There are probably so many good things about Tom Sandoval. They were not on display a lot this season, unless you count him paying for a sound man in this final episode. Yeah, dude, I flew in my sound guy. He's the guy that does Stevie Wonder's music, dude. Yeah, dude. There are just so many weird moments, and I just kept... The show in this season almost forces you to break down the fourth wall yourself. We break down the fourth wall in this episode, but it almost requires you to think about this from a production angle. And I know Jeremiah, the producer, is taking a lot of heat because he's the one that actually had that discussion with Ariana on camera. And I don't know if that's necessarily fair because I'm not standing up for production, but I will say they are trying to get a job done. And this season really turned it like, and if you listen to the earlier episodes of So Bad It's Good, even before the season started, I said this is what it would happen. It would be a season of Ariana sticking to her guns, which she told us from the jump. And it would be production trying to find ways to get her to interact with Tom Sandoval. And the thing is, I could almost understand some of the anger if Ariana just refused to be in the same, you know, diameter as Tom Sandoval. But no, she was around Tom Sandoval a lot, way more than I even thought she would be. You might not have liked, you know, she wasn't there with a smiling face. And I don't know why it's the job of the woman to make sure everything's okay for the men on this show, but she was still there. She was in group scenes with this person. But, you know, yeah, I knew, we all knew that at some point Sandoval was going to try to jump out. What's up, dude? Hey, what's up, Ariana? What's up, dude? Hey, remember me, dude? 9 years? Anywho, San Francisco. You see the trolleys here, dude? Oh, Dan, I love his luscious locks, dude. Yeah. What's up, Dan? Put her there, dude. It's me, T. Sandy. What's up, dude? What's up? Anywho, like, we knew that was going to happen, but we also knew Ariana's reaction. And Ariana has nailed it. And I think maybe that's the thing that potentially gets some people upset, and maybe even Lala, is that when somebody is completely straightforward without a lot of the bullshit, it's aggravating. And it's the same vibe I used to get when Ariana would do scenes with like Stassi, where it was just like, it almost felt like sometimes Ariana exhausted Stassi. It was like, why can't you just be a dick and talk shit like I do? And I'm not slamming Stassi there, but you could just sense some of a frustration. I think sometimes it gets put on Ariana that she thinks she's above everything. And I don't think it's that she thinks she's above everything. I just think that she usually has a very clean way of thinking that seems to frustrate people, and she'll stand by her guns in difficult situations. And I just don't know why we can't universally celebrate that. And you might say, well, she's getting celebrated enough. She's getting celebrated enough. Lala says one of the most hurtful things, if I was Ariana, it would be so hurtful to hear. In the after show, she's paired up with Brittany. Brittany just very happy to be on TV again. And Lala's like, dude, nobody gave a fucking shit about Ariana before this. And now all of a sudden, what she says goes? I mean, that to me is hate. It's just flat out hate. it's hard to even make a joke of it because I'm like, it's repugnant. It's just disgusting. I don't know if this is your soft side. And I like, it's so weird because I feel like I've even tried to be so nice to Lala and like, and I've meant it when I've said, I think she has such star quality. I think she's so talented in so many ways, but this shit is weird. It's insidious. And I don't necessarily know what it's coming from. And I'm still giving even Lala the benefit of the doubt of, oh, maybe we just don't know a big piece of information. But I know that probably isn't the case either because Lala has ran her mouth ever since the reunion that she has told us time and time again about like, oh, you're going to see, you're going to see. What are we going to, when are we going to see this? Am I completely blind? Like, I think I'm gaslighting myself at this point. And it's weird. Like, I don't want to have to sit here and like rant and rave about standing up for Ariana because I do know she has a lot of support, but it's weird when some of these people that like the gang, the tight-knit group of friends that we need to invest in so they can still hang out. Why the fuck would you want to hang out with these people at all at this point? This is how they get talked about. And what I love about Ariana is that I do love that you can be sometimes in the background. You can just be there doing your thing and then life will present you with a really shitty situation. And then life will also present you with some kind of, I don't know, I don't even want to say cosmic reward because Ariana's having to work her ass off to do these things. You know, show up 6 days a week on Broadway, you know, film all of these things, do all of this stuff. And like having to hear Tom every episode, oh, you're fucking Leviath, dude. You can't get her Leviath up to wipe her butt, dude. That's how sorry this man is, that he still, when pushed very lightly, will literally result to what a lazy piece of shit. And it's really hard to rectify that kind of anger with somebody like, oh, I'm so sorry, dude. Oh, my Zara suit. Oh. I'm crying all over my women's couture, dude. It's just so ridiculous. And I guess the question is, why are we so captivated by it? I mean, we're in hook, line, and sinker. And another thing that we'll talk about, and we'll talk about it right now, is you know, is that everybody says, oh, that this seems like a series finale. That's it. Pack it up. That's it. Oh, my God. It's not leaving. I can tell you for so many reasons, just from a business standpoint, it might look a lot different when it comes back, but this ain't over. This is a money-making property. Like I said, you know, the Lala would tell you, fuck your feelings. So yeah, fuck all of our feelings. Even if we think this would be the perfect end, let me remind you, I think it was season 8 when Jax Taylor had the monologue and then Lisa was like, it's my show, Jax. How dare you? We all share our lives, our ups, our downs. To me, I was like, that should be the series finale. I remember seeing that going, everybody's walking off their own way. No, we came right back, baby. We're 3 more seasons past that point. And yes, that's the job of any good finale, is to have some kind of finality. I'm okay with saying goodbye to Scandoval. You know, we live, we learn. I do not know how this friend group, because it's not a friend group at this point, it's this coworker group. It's like the cast of The Office. I don't know how it all works, but that's not my job. Production has a really tough job. But we knew production was going to do this, where they were going to try to force scenes. They were going to try to. And man, it is so not frustrating, but I long for the day. And I think sometimes I am so silly on these shows. Like, I think certain people will, I don't know if respect is the word, nor am I looking for respect, but they'll take that like, oh, you know, this guy is joking, but he's also kind of making some sense in certain ways, or he has very strong opinions. I would love dearly to talk to somebody in production because I just want to know. I want to know because I don't think it's as easy as, oh, they just love Tom so much and they're trying to give him a redemption arc. No, I don't know exactly what they're thinking, but I don't think that it's like the cards are stacked against, but I do think that they had a plan. They had a plan that they were trying to figure out, and then it got away from them at some point. And they're trying to hit these plot points, these beats. And one of those beats is Sheena. Sheena and, you know, and no matter if you love Sheena, you hate Sheena, Sheena has given so much to this show. I mean, she has put it out warts and all in a very different way than a lot of the other cast members. And that's why even when Lala got this bullshit monologue at the very end, I was like, this should be given to Sheena. This monologue should be given to Sheena. And this is why I think, you know, Lala with that last monologue is where you got Andy Cohen saying, you know, she's like, you know, she's the one of the group that really makes a lot of sense. I mean, she makes a lot of sense as like a producer plant, you know, producer's pet. Ah, she's a producer's pet. My name is Lala Kent, and I'll say what you need, cause I'm a producer's pet. Don't worry, folks. She says she doesn't read or listen or any of this stuff, so none of this can hurt her, even though it seems like she is highly bothered that we are not seeing everything that she sees. But some of these reality shows, it really is what you can prove. Like, what you can prove. We were able to prove that Tom Sandoval had a lot of issues. You know, he was the guy that would show up at your birthday parties and pay and do these big grand gestures. But when it came to smaller moments and moments of trust, that's where he faltered. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. I'm sure everyone has at least one memory from when they were a sweaty, hormonal teenager forgetting to put on deodorant in the morning, and the horror of finding out the hard way. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about BO again. And our listeners can now receive a special offer. New customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code SOBAD at LumiDeodorant.com. LumiDeodorant.com. It makes you smell clean. It goes on easily and it keeps you smelling fresh for so much longer than any other deodorant. The biggest difference, Lumi is seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. It's baking soda free and paraben free and pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Lumi is formulated and powered by mandelic acid to stop odor before it starts. It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor for up to 72 hours. Lumi Starter Pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like, you know, mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping. As a special offer for our listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code SOBAD for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code SOBAD at LumiDeodorant.com. Folks, summer is just around the corner, so it's time to say goodbye to those jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. Now, I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and luckily, I found Quince. Now, I have a lineup of timeless pieces I want that will keep me looking fresh year after year. I got a pair of tan shorts. I got a pair of green shorts. I cannot wait to style these for summer. And I got to tell you, the quality is great because Quince has all the seasonal must-haves like 100% European linen shirts from $30, performance polos, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, so you can feel good about what you're wearing on every level. So upgrade your wardrobe. Go to quince.com/sobad for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sobad to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/sobad. And I don't think we ever got... And by the way, that's kind of a lifetime's journey, is trying to figure that shit out. If anything, I'm so happy they're going to take an extended break, because I just think Tom needs to actually touch grass and figure out who he is away from cameras. He's still, you know, like Ariana made so much sense in that final scene where she's talking about, listen, I'm the final boss. He needs me. Like I'm like the final thing for him to be able to get forgiveness from the audience. And I'm not going to give that to him. I'm not going to give him that on camera. Because it's not real to Tom unless it's on camera. And you might say, oh, the nobility. Oh, taking one for the show. It's not noble. I don't think it's noble in the way that some people might. I think it's out of survival. And I think it's just a habit that he needs to break out of and realize that his life means more than just telling hard truths on this show. And if Tom truly really believed the bullshit that he says, he would have told the hard truth on the show last season when he was actively cheating on Ariana with Rachel. Remember, he only shared that hard truth because he was caught. He had a whole different plan in his head of how all this would go down, and it did not go to plan. But that's the bullshit, is that, like, it sounds good on paper of like, oh yeah, we all put our tough conversations out on the line. We put our neck out on the line. And Lala says that, and Sheena says that. But like each one of those people, you can pick apart and go, Lala, you literally like ran from filming during a season. Like, you just skipped town. Do you remember that? You lied for like multiple seasons about who your boyfriend was, and the rest of that cast hid the secret for you. And they did get frustrated. It's just one of those things that I think, you know, certain things, I don't know. Like I said, it's all about what you can prove on these shows. And Lala, for all the bluster, and it's just, it ticks me off so much that I'm even talking about Lala as much as I should, because I should still be talking about Sandoval. I should still be talking about this season. But Lala inserted herself in such a way that I was like, why are you doing this? What do you get from this? Because Lala is not a dummy. She's not dumb. I think sometimes she makes a lot of sense. I just don't think she proved anything. And it got worse and worse as the season went on. And finally, she was like, oh my God, I exploded. I finally let it all out. Really? I feel like you let a lot out throughout the entire season. Just like Sheena, and this is talked about in the after show, says, oh, I finally got to have that conversation with Ariana in San Francisco about being friends with Tom. And that's another confusing thing, because I've seen multiple scenes of you and Ariana talking about Sandoval throughout the season. When you were at Tahoe and you called her on FaceTime, when you were in your house and you were sitting across from her, I feel like this conversation has been continuing all of season 11. So it wasn't this, finally, we had this conversation where I said I'm going to be cool with Sandoval. Like, we've seen that time and time again. But those are the confusing things about this show, because three episodes ago, Tom Sandoval was literally yelling at Sheena and DJ James Kennedy in Ality's backyard, going like, you were the other woman, dude. Don't you remember, dude? Brandi Glanville? Eddie Fabian, dude? And that's why it's so weird. Like, Brock's even like, we've got to be kind to Sandoval. He always reaches out. He'll go to your improv shows. Ah! And I'm like, dude, this guy yelled at your wife and brought up one of her darker moments of when she was in her like early to mid-20s. And, you know, you would think this guy would be on thin ice. I don't know what devil's deal we got going here. Like, sometimes I do wonder if production was like, sat this cast down away from Ariana and said, hey, we don't have a show unless Ariana and Tom interact with each other in a meaningful way. And I'm like, we do have a show without them acting in a meaningful way. Like, we do have a show. Somebody walking away because they refuse to be used by their ex is a show to me. That is wildly fascinating to me. You don't get to see that a lot. And if we are going to break the fourth wall, fucking obliterate the fourth wall. Obliterate it. I've told you, like, since even two seasons ago before Scandal, I was like, I want to see a show where we like sit around with production meetings talking about possible, like, hey, do you think this could actually be a storyline? What do you think this? I would love to hear the interviews with the cast. I would love to know the behind the scenes. But each one of these cast members have hidden something or are actively hiding something from production, or production knows it and they've just deemed it not yet or not worthy to cover. But we did it, folks. We got through it. We got through the season. So I'm so excited. I'm so excited to be here talking to you. I'm still a little stuffed up, if you can hear, from this sinus infection. So we will get through this. Buckle in. We're going to take our time with this one. We're going to slow it way down, folks. So hopefully you can sit here and laugh with me and be stupid and silly. We'll find those moments to be silly and stupid. And then we'll go deep, guys. We'll get real deep with it, potentially. Yeah, we'll try. But what did you guys think? Did you find it as like, I just watched it a third time and I'm liking it more, as you know, I'm like, okay, it's always that first time. And it's done that a lot for me this season, where it just leaves you feeling empty and confused. And like, where I'm like, I need to take a Silkwood shower and just like scrub off all the dirt off of my body that I feel after watching these shows. And you know, the first time I watched it through, I was like, oh, God, it just felt like a lot of things of like, we got to put this in. We got to get Joseph in there. We got to get that. We got to close this up. We got to do this. We got to try to do this. And we know that this wasn't initially, I don't believe, what they wanted for the season finale. They wanted the something about her opening, which, of course, is going to be happening in a couple of weeks. But they were hoping, I believe, that was going to be the season finale. And it is ultimately so weird. And I don't even think that really got touched on nearly enough that this was Kyle Chan's whiskey party. One of Tom Sandoval's, you know, best friends that he's talked about, you know, how much Kyle has been there for him. But I was like, how did this happen all of a sudden? And also, Kyle, I thought Kyle was jewelry. Now Kyle's getting into the whiskey business. He's getting into the liqueur business. And I was like, what? You know, Billy Lee was there. You saw Ty that Tom had dated a little bit. She was there. It was a collection of characters, or as DJ James Kennedy would say, a who's who. Like, literally, who the fuck are these people? Guys' night. No, I'm joking. I love everybody. So should we get into it? Are you guys good? Sorry, I just like really just went off there. I've been thinking about this all day. And I did Jeff Lewis Extended on Sirius this morning. And one of the callers at the end, because we don't really, you know, you'll talk about reality shows here and there. And I know Jeff had not watched it yet. Shane had watched it. Who works on the show, and somebody called in to ask me what I had thought of the show. And I just went off. Like, I can speak fluent Vanderpump. Sometimes I'm not good with my actual life, or, you know, just like little things like cleaning myself, but I can give you a solid 3 hours on Vanderpump Rules. I think sometimes, and like the caller, I just like went off, and you could see Jeff going like, what the fuck? Like, this guy's really going off on the deep end with his Vanderpump. But here, listen, I'm just excited that we're almost done. We can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Let these people go, take a break, grow the fuck up, or whatever they're going to do, because there's so much drama even behind the scenes, which is an actual show. Tom Sandoval and his new girlfriend unfollowed each other on Instagram just 2 days ago, and then the next day refollowed each other. But then Billy Lee unfollowed Tom Sandoval's new girlfriend and Tom Sandoval. Billy Lee, what happened? Billy Lee looked at Tom Sandoval like a Greek god. Like, there has never been a man like him in the world. So what the F happened? Now I'm like, get Billy Lee on the pick up cameras now. I want to know. There's enough weird shit that goes on that you could have a Vanderpump show forever. But we'll have plenty of time to talk about this. Thank you guys for bearing with me. I just get so excited talking about all this stuff. I do want to give a shout out to all the shows this week that we had. Lindsay fucking Hubbard from Summer House on today. It was really intense, but I hope you guys like that. I hope you guys will give a shot to the other episodes through the week. We had Amir Lancaster from Summer House Martha's Vineyard on Tuesday. On Monday, we had Sammy Sage from Betches. I mean, those are really great. And I'm not feeling my best, so I'm just, those guests really helped me so much, and did the heavy lifting for me while I'm not feeling good. But we're putting a lot of work in. And shout out to Meditza Lopez, the Met Gala. If you go check out our Met Gala video on YouTube, she made all these beautiful graphics because, you know, I primarily shop at Old Navy. So, of course, I should be doing a Met Gala recap. But that's on the audio of the Lindsay Hubbard after the interview. But if you want to see the visual, go subscribe to our YouTube channel. And check that out right there. Also, happy late birthday to Miss Sheena Shea. I was invited to Sheena's surprise birthday last night, Tuesday night, but I really was sick. And I knew I had to wake up for Jeff today, and I wanted to be on point. So I just didn't want to be out and then drinking too much Smirnoff. And looks like I missed a good party, but they also watched the season finale at there. And I was like, oh my God, I would have loved to have just seen that, just to see like everybody's reaction. And was like, Sheena happy with it? I'm so curious. I'm thinking about texting her going, how you doing? Like, I would never do that to Lala, but Sheena, I'm like, how you doing? How did it end? Are you okay? But I was bummed to have missed that, but it's, I just really was trying to make sure I feel okay, because I'm going out of town again next week, and that's really important. But also, you know, I get so nervous at those things anyways. And there was a bunch of like cast members from The Valley and Kyle Cook from Summer House. So it would have been cool, but I mean, it's fine. And then also Zach Peters from No Filter with Zach. He invited me to do, he had a viewing party at Schwartz and Sandy's, and I would have done that too. And he had assured me that Sandoval wouldn't be there. So I missed a couple of good parties, but I'm sure you guys probably saw that online. So I'm best in my hole just sitting here in front of a microphone where I'm the most comfortable. Okay. Let's do this. 26 minutes in. And as always, thank you to Juliana Carroza, who took the transcribed the notes for this. She has been a rock for me for so long and always just kills it. But I was reading a note she sent to me at the very end about how empty and sad she feels as well. And I don't know, you know, maybe that just means we obviously, you know, all of us, we need to touch grass as well. And I'm trying to touch grass more. But man, you get into these. This is what it must feel like to like a sports team or something. You get into it. And that's the exciting part. And I do question sometimes is that maybe they want us to be this angry. Maybe they want that because sometimes if you hate something, that means you love it really passionately. I have haters. They seem to be sometimes my biggest fans and will pay attention to every little thing that I do. And you're like, that is wild. And people have told me to enjoy that. And I just never have been able to find a way to do that. But sometimes you almost feel like that's what they're after with these shows. They're after that. And that is part of it, right? Is just basic story structure is drama, is bringing that drama. It's just that we had drama. We didn't need the drama of people turning against Ariana. You will inevitably make her more powerful. You know, I don't know why, but I keep making Star Wars references lately. And what's that thing, you know, like Obi-Wan Kenobi, if you strike me down, you're just going to make me more powerful and more powerful. The more shit that gets talked towards Ariana, the more it's just like you just make her stronger in some way. She's not even trying to do it. She's not even going, look at me, but the amount of these people that are talking behind her back and talking shit, it is just making her stronger. Like I've never like Lala's final word of like, I've never seen this happen. And then somebody becomes God. It's the fact that you keep saying things like this. You are turning her into a God. You are turning her into this person because you cannot keep her name out of your mouth. And I have not felt personally gypped or cheated by Ariana not having a conversation with Tom Sandoval, because I've seen those conversations with Tom Sandoval before. I've seen it with Kristen Doty. I've seen those tears. I know exactly. I could write you fan fiction right now on how it would go. And if we saw that, Ariana would just be like, it would be laughable. She would laugh at it, which, yeah, that would be enjoyable. But, you know, she has said from the beginning, protecting her own peace. And I think, as somebody that is trying to learn how to do that myself and has, you know, up to this point, really I've never done a good job at that. I think maybe that's sometimes where the jealousy comes in, because these people are not able to do that for themselves. So it's really hard to see it actually being done by somebody else and somebody that they didn't really think that could do that. It's like sad, because that's why I say it would have really hurt my feelings, because at the end of the day, Ariana does have to accept that these people don't seem like they think a lot of her. They don't seem to think that she's capable of what she's actually pulled off. And I just sometimes go, wait, you know, like, where's the just the basic respect? Also, did Tom Sandoval stay and face Miami Girl when he was confronted with her that one season? No, dude, he fucking ran. Did Lala pop out and go, dude, what is going on, little Lala? What a bitch. Get the fuck out of there, bitch. These are our paychecks. This is our livelihood, bitch. Everybody has run from shit on this show. And that's really entertaining to watch somebody run from their past. Okay. And that's all I got to say about that. Vanderpump Rules, season 11, episode 15. This one's called Plot Twist. Was it really a plot twist? This is the description the cable company gives us. Sheena performs live for the first time with her band, the 27s. Katie clashes with Joseph over a year's worth of grievances. I like that. What a nice little descriptor. A year's worth of grievances. Ariana takes Dan to lunch with her friends. The fourth wall is left shattered when Tom approaches Ariana for a conversation. I feel like we've kind of shattered that fourth wall even last, the finale. Because remember, the season finale last year was the Scandoval episode, a brilliant episode. And that really did shatter the fourth wall in a lot of ways. But this, I guess, even takes it a step further because Jeremiah is involved when Ariana walks off. But Jeremiah, producer Jeremiah, he's, you know, we've seen him a lot even at the reunion last season. I'm all good with that. In fact, Teen Mom on MTV always does this brilliantly where at a certain point they got the producers on camera and they became a part of the show. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
And that's the other thing, too, is that these people, that's why they would be so worthwhile to interview if they were able to actually talk, is that Jeremiah's been with this show from day one. Day one. These people have grown up with this cast as well as the cast has grown up with each other. Like, they know their ins and outs. And I don't know, like, you know, sometimes you are going to have your take on a situation, but I imagine they feel that a lot of this cast is family to them as well. And they've wanted to believe the best in these people, even when they've seen them at their worst. In fact, Jeremiah, they had this making of the first season, and I don't know where I don't even know where you can get that. But Jeremiah's interviewed in this. I always bring this up because I found it fascinating. Was that they bought hook, line, and sinker, Jax, that Jax did not cheat on Stassi. And so when Jax showed up at the season finale and walked in and was like, "I did do that in Vegas," da da da. They were all shocked because Jax had been lying through his teeth to production, to everybody, and they believed him. Just because you're production doesn't mean you know exactly everything. You don't know the truth of everything. Now, they trolled Ariana in this, but they also trolled Tom. They used his hot mic moment at the very end. So, I gotta go. Previously on Vanderpump Rules, we had the Lisa do it. Previously on Vanderpump Rules, I can't be at the finale because I'm trying to build Wolf with Nicolaine. Oh, can you believe I can't be in the season finale? Kyle Chan's whiskey, I can't believe that. The kin erasure will not stand. When season 12 happens, and it will happen, it better be a fucking Kin Todd-centric season. This man better be in every fucking episode. I want him in the center of the action.
Shut up, Lisa. It's my time to shine. Please, can I talk to something? Sandoval, I'm going to knock your fuck clean out. Stop being a pussy. You're not sorry for anything. Whoa, get in your cold plunge and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, so we see the wine therapy boat excursion on the San Francisco Bay from last week's episode and DJ James Kennedy. San Francisco, baby! Guys' night! Kyle Chan announces, "We're going to have a launch party and I'm asking Sheena if she can perform." And Sheena's like, "How can I say no?" I am one of those people that I want at my funeral them to play the Vanderpump Rules theme. I also want them to play Good as Gold. I also, like, listen, if I feel like I'll probably pass away sooner rather than later, I want Sheena to sing at my funeral. Like, do a slow down Good as Gold, like, "I'll open Pandora's box for your heartache." And maybe, like, oh, now that I'm doing, like, maybe a choir behind her, and Sandoval will do, like, the mic check. He'll bring it, like, "Oh, dude, I know he was kind of tough on me those couple of seasons, but I brought my sound guy down here to the church, and we're gonna do it up, dude." And then I'll be like, "Can I play my songs?" And even me from the dead, I'll be like, "No, just Sheena. We have Joseph from earlier in the season when Joseph and Schwartz were on that swan in the lake. And she's like, "Bee-boo-bop, everyone's going to have to get along. I killed my turtle when I was a kid." And George is like, "Bless your heart." Joe in a talking head saying, "The other girls didn't give me a fair chance. Specifically, Katie, pull my finger. She's being a jealous ex." This show like is just like wall-to-wall gaslighting. "She's being a jealous ex." Joe, there's a, you know, it's just always funny. There's like reasons why things happen. There's a reason why Katie doesn't like you. It's a pretty understandable reason. The fact that we keep hitting the same note, expecting like something else to come out of the piano is wild. Like, Joe, get, take the loss. You did do something weird behind her back. No matter how you like rationalize it in your head, you wanted to do the hippity dippity with Schwartz. That's okay. So many girls and guys want to do the hippity dippity with Schwartz. You got in there, but don't act like you got in there like completely fair game, because that's just not the case. Accept it. James is talking about hippie. Remember, he got hippie back, and he's like, "I definitely feel like a baby's in our future, not just hippie." And Allie's like, "I've literally never felt that." James, very emotional in a talking head, is like, "This girl that I'm very in love with, she's like, never had plans to have kids. It breaks my fucking heart." But then we have the scene with Ariana to Dan, her boyfriend, who was able to keep 7 feet of hair in a nice tight bow that I'm like, is this guy an architect? How does he do this with his hair? I spent one of my viewings today, once again, just looking at, I was like standing up, looking at the hair from different angles going, how the fuck does this guy put the hair like that? And how much does it weigh? So Dan is coming to San Francisco. Then Lala talking to Dan. Remember when Lala barged into Ariana's room and watched Dan change, and little Lala was like, "Fuck yeah, dude. Woohoo! It's a flood. Titanic." Lala's like, "If Ariana's ex were to come up to me and be like, 'Hey dude, what would you do?'" And Dan is like, "Well, Tom hasn't done anything to me, but I know what he's done. I know what he's done." That's pretty like, "But I'm a man. I ain't gonna run. Hey, I don't need no chunky sweater to take off in a Vegas strip mall. I don't need a chunky sweater. I'm muscles." Ariana, in a scene with Brock, trying to explain how feelings and emotions work, Ariana's like, "Listen, I'm not going to have mutual friends with Tom. It's not going to fucking happen." And Brock's like, "Yeah, I guess. Okay. I don't know why. When did women get the right to vote? Come on." Sandoval, in another scene, is like, "It feels good to be able to talk like this to Sheena at the very end of last week's episode." And Sheena's like, "Yeah." And then they hug, and Sam's like, "I love you, dude." And Sheena's like, "I love you too." At a certain point, do you think it like even like entered Sandoval's skewed mind of like, "Did I fucking hit on Sheena, dude? Do you think the show needs me to hit on Sheena to survive? I wonder if I could kiss Sheena. Do I have it in me?" Like, you almost think that he almost got there in his mind. There were a couple moments even tonight where I was like, "Are you guys dating? Like, I'm so confused about the emotion. Like, I know you guys have been friends. I know we stood up for you at the very beginning, and you guys really have done something really unimaginable in terms of how successful this show has been throughout the years. But at the same time, I'm like, did the show just not show us how close these two people were? It feels like they were like blood brothers at a certain point. Like, are they related? I get confused." We open up with the song as we usually do. And a song plays of like, "I probably flew through the rainbow. I didn't realize I never loved another lover like I love you." And we start our morning off at the Argonaut Hotel, where everyone is staying. Dan is already dressed, giving Ariana a wake-up hug. I literally wrote this note: "How does this man do his hair?" And Dan's like, "Let me get you coffee." And Ariana's like, "Huh? Thank you." This Dan, acts of service. We cut over to DJ James Kennedy's room, and him and Allie are in bed waking up. And he's like, "How do you think it is with Sandoval? It's kind of awkward, huh, for Dan?" And Allie's like, "I wonder if Dan's going to come around today. My God, yes, Allie Dally." And Allie's like, "Have they even met?" And James smiles, "No, tonight will be the big meeting. Top man." We go over to Katie's room, and Lala's in there. And, you know, just laying on the bed, you know, just really active, really pushing the storyline further, just laying there in a bathrobe. But no, it's everybody. No, it's Lala's show, so she can just chill. Lala goes, the way Ariana would talk about him, like every time I would ask her, like, is Dan going to be okay on this trip? Like, what if there's an interaction with Sandoval? And she was like, Dan has been in fights before. Like, he does not fuck around. And if Sandoval were to walk up to him and be like, hey, how are you? There's no way Dan would shake his hand. And I'm like, this guy sounds like a fucking square. And Lala makes a nasty face. Oh, yeah, man. We all can't be as cool as Randall Emmett. Yeah, Randall Ives Emmett, baby. That's a man. Woo. How does that sound like a swear? Like, I really am trying to look at it from like all these sides. But like, she says this saying of like, oh, yeah, Ariana said Dan doesn't fuck around. You know, I'm like, how does that sound like a swear? Any of this? It literally sounds, I was like, okay, wow, it sounds better than most of the guys on Vanderpump Rules. And listen, I don't know Dan. I don't even know if we're going to get to know Dan. I don't even think we should get to know Dan. You know, it seems like a real relationship. And it doesn't look like he's looking for that. I can point to other, you know, other boyfriends and girlfriends on the show that do seem like they really want to be there. But Dan doesn't seem to be one of them. But that's another thing. He's a fucking square, right? But this is what I'm saying. Lala is fucking obsessed. Lala is obsessed. The season started with Lala breaking, you know, breaking rank and texting Rachel. She was wrong about that, and she's wrong about this. Wrong from the beginning, wrong at the ending. And Katie tells Lala, goes, no, I think he's like this, the sweetest person. And Lala just glares at Katie like, fuck you. You fucking dare you. I'm Team Joseph. Now we cut over to Sandoval in bed and he's on FaceTime with Schwartz. And I swear to God, this dude has mood lighting and he brought mood lighting for his hotel room. It looks like Prince farted in there. It's like purple everywhere. And then it started changing colors. And I realized he has a galaxy light, I think, in there, which is like, yeah, dude, I'll get back at Rachel, dude. I'm going to bring the galaxy light that we used to bone to, dude. Yeah. How you like me now? Anyway, Schwartz is wearing a white paper face mask in the bathtub. And he's like, what's up, dog? Dude, this tub has jets. I've spent the last hour trying to put my dick in one. Look at this. And he turns the phone to show how he pushes the jet button. And Sandoval's like, yeah, dude, I thought your hand with your toes for a second. I thought your hand with your toes for a second because you kind of got long toes. And Schwartz is like, oh, my God. I thought you said, let me see your toes again for a second. And then Sandoval's like, let me see them toes for a second. And Schwartz is like, not cool, dude. Listen, I know that they might move in together. They might not. But I feel like we legally need to force them to move in together because the world would miss out on conversations like this of like, dude, Schwartz, come check this out. I just shit in the bathtub, dude. Come smell this thing. It's insane. Dude, have you seen my laxative pills? We cut over to Brock and Sheena's room, and Brock's like, you need any help with anything else tonight, Sheena? And Sheena's like, no, I don't think so. And I'm sure Tom will be in touch with the guys for what time they need to be there to set up their stuff. And Brock's like, so Tom is helping you set up everything. I do want to point out, Tom's best friend is Kyle Chan. That is why Tom is helping with this stuff. It's positioned as Tom is helping Sheena, but Tom is helping this whole production. This is Kyle Chan production. He is just using it as this kind of angle where it seems like he is expressly helping Sheena. And she goes, yeah, like all the sound for all the performances, and they're like building a stage, and it's like a big, big deal. It is a big deal, my love. How do you feel after last night's conversation now that you got to sleep on it? And we have a flashback to Sandoval and Sheena on the terrace, hugging. Sandoval going, thanks for being there for me, dude. Sheena tells Brock, and she's getting teary. She says, like, we have a good, productive conversations. And then it's like, are you being genuine or are you playing me? Because Ariana is going to feel differently about him and not think anything's good or genuine because of what he did. All I'm saying during the, I'm like, yeah, yeah, Sheena gets it, man. Like, Sheena knows, yes. But Sheena is inwardly tortured, and you almost feel bad for her at times because this is very, you get the sense this is very real. She just sits there and plays these scenarios and situations out in her head. But at the same time, if Tom says like all of these nice things to her, she really takes that as fate at face value. But then she's like, oh my God, Ariana is one of my best friends. Like it, you see this one person getting tortured, but most of the torture, they are doing it to themselves because, and this is easier said than done, is that she could free herself from this complete line of thinking because at the end of the day, it's not that deep, but you don't want to take away from her actual feelings that she's truly feeling. Like, I don't think this is bullshit. I think she truly does torture herself. She goes, I have a hard time trusting anyone anymore. I have a hard time believing what's real. I mean, this is a real Nightmare on Elm Street scenario. Like, Sheena is truly been tortured about this. And the easy joke, of course, is, oh, Sheena's making it all about her all again. But she does make it all about her, but she makes it all about her in this way that almost tortures herself. She's not making it all about her and she's having the time of her life. She legitimately terrorizes herself with sometimes feeling this way. And you see that it just eats at her. So anyways, Brock's like, out of those two, Ariana and Tom, I'm sorry. I love Ariana, but she doesn't reach out. Tom reaches out. I'm just like, yeah, man, Tom will show up in ways that Ariana probably is not mentally able to do. And I think that's another reason why sometimes Ariana resonates with people is that I was really trying to think about this because I think one of the things that impressed me about Tom Sandoval initially and why I was truly, I was weirdly looked up to that guy and really had a very soft spot for him is because he was that guy that seemed like he really was that unifier. There's those people where it's like, oh, he wants everybody to have a good time and he's doing, you know, and he follows the beat of his own drum and all of this stuff. And I just really thought that was amazing because that's not who I am at all. And I really looked up to that, you know, that person that is okay talking with anybody. Like, I'm okay talking with you guys, but I get really shy in other situations or I'll force myself and inwardly I'm dying. I feel very panicky and like I'm less than all the time and I'm very insecure. And, you know, he always came off as the opposite of that. And I was like, wow, what a cool guy. But of course, you know, Tom has that. That's a gift. But it doesn't mean Ariana's less than. It also doesn't mean if you are like that, of the person that can't be the unifier, the person that doesn't reach out all the time, it doesn't mean you're this horrible person. It just means you don't have those skills. We all have something different about us to be celebrated. And, you know, we can't be everything to everybody. Brock in a talking head's like, Tom has been the most generous, greatest, caring friend that we've had of our whole friend group. It reminds me of growing up on a pig farm when I was Mormon. He does things and acts when Sheena needs them the most without even telling anybody else he does them. So that is kind of something I've always admired about him. Sheena goes, well, Brock, I don't agree with you. I don't. Ariana is a very good friend to me. I talk to Ariana most than a lot of people in my life. And Brock's like, well, so I'm talking about like action-wise. She'll bail out of things often. And I was like, hell yeah, so do I. Queen. Like, listen, sometimes, and Brock especially should know this because it seems like Sheena deals with mental health issues, is that when you do have mental health issues, it just really does impede sometimes your social calendar. It impedes, you know, even sometimes you getting out of bed. I mean, that's what another thing that I'm saying the same shit. Anyways, Sheena's like, I understand that, Brock. In this group, we know that Ariana is going to be the person who probably isn't going to show up, but always wants to be invited. But I will never turn my back on Ariana because she has always been there for me. Yes, yes, yes to all that. And Brock's like, okay, well, then you got a dog in this fight. What do you mean? No, there doesn't even have to be a dog in this fight. There's no dog. There's no fight. It's over. You're not getting these people back together. Deal with it. Anyways, it's a beautiful afternoon in San Francisco. Everyone is together riding on the trolley and DJ James Kennedy, like a little kid, he's like, how high are we going? Are we going to the top of the street? And Brock's like, all the way up. And George is like, oh my God, there's Alcatraz. Oh. And DJ James Kennedy's like, hello, San Francisco, Coachella. And Brock's like, oh, I feel like I'm from the scene from Mrs. Doubtfire. Like when they get on the trolley. And I was like, Mrs. Doubtfire? Holy, Brock pays attention. Mrs. Doubtfire. Anyways, there's a joke there that I'm not going to say. Dan is on there with Ariana. And Dan is like, at one point, I was walking like this. And he holds his arm practically sideways. I was walking like a 45-degree angle because the streets are so crazy. And Ariana's like, yeah, you got to lean forward. And Brock's like, we're going to go downhill. And Ariana's like, we're going downhill. DJ James Kennedy is like running up and down on a trolley like a hyperactive five-year-old. He's taking a selfie video for his Insta fans. Lala, very concerned, says to Ariana, were you always going to come on the trolley even if the other person was here? Talking about Sandoval. And Ariana's like, I don't know. And Shorts is like, I think he's with Kyle Chan setting up for tonight. And Lala's like, really? Lala, what are you, like a roving reporter? What are you, for the Washington Post? Like, Ariana, were you always going to come even if Sandoval came? Like, what the fuck? Like, why? Let shit happen, dude.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you recently say yes to marrying the love of your life? Do you have no idea where to begin your wedding planning journey? Has your future mother-in-law already made you cry? Have you gone through the whole wedding planning process and have some wisdom to share? The Betches Brides podcast is here to help you laugh or cry through it all. I'm Selena Kopic, and I'm the new host of Betches Brides. In this season, I'll take you along my wedding planning journey alongside my co-host and good bestie, Chelsea White. We'll swap wedding planning stories, answer your wedding planning questions, and be totally honest with you on if you're actually being a bridezilla or not. Betches Brides is here to help you not trip down the aisle. So be sure to tune into Betches Brides every Monday on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And follow at Betches Brides on Instagram for even more wedding inspiration.
Unless you're getting fed questions from production to ask, but then, like, tell us that, too. I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, you don't... Lala is suffering from treating the audience like they're fucking idiots. And even how Lala talks about us because we don't get along with her and how she moves. She always likes to say, how you move. How Lala moves is so fucking weird. And it's just... It's weird how she moves. And it just doesn't add up in certain ways. Anyways, they flash a shot of Sandoval hustling and working over at Kyle Chan's event. They do this a couple times, and it's just shots of, like, Tom, like, plugging in cords randomly, which I don't even think. He's like, oh, dude, let me act like I'm plugging in a cord, dude. If you hired a sound guy, you wouldn't be plugging in any cords. And the way Tom is, like, jamming these cords in, that I feel like this is just, like, a weird pickup shot. Anyways, the friend gang is walking around Chinatown. Open stalls, shopping kiosks, and Lala is window shopping. And she's like, oh my God, deep fried wontons. My mouth is watering. And little Lala's like, mine too, bitch. And Lala, I was like, yeah, put some wontons in your mouth so you stop talking, please. They get to this restaurant, House of Nanking, and they are greeted and seated. And they, this place is just going to give them a serving of a bunch of different stuff, some Chinese beer. They get some Diet Coke. And Brock's like, what did everybody get up to last night once we finished playing dress up? And Lala's like, I cuddled with Katie in bed. And they flash back to the previous night. And Lala's like, can we watch TV and close our eyes? And Katie's on her phone. And she's like, I would love that. I'm like, by the way, this is Schwartz's wet dream right now. This is what Schwartz wanted to do when he approached Katie. He was like, hey, what if we got $150 minimum of candy? We didn't talk at all. And we just scrolled. I busted a nut because it's so weirdly erotic. Like, this is Schwartz probably watched this scene and was like, it's my dream. Anyways, Lala's like, okay, that sounds awesome. And they turn on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, or so it seems, because you hear Lisa Vanderpump going, the crown is heavy, darling, from Beverly Hills. Brock says to Schwartz, hey, they got their cuddle moment. Sorry, buddy. I mean, and Schwartz is like, yeah, God. Get a shot, dude. And Lala's like, I told Schwartzy we would have tag teamed him, but I don't think he can handle all this. And Sheena's like, have you ever had a threesome? And Schwartz pauses to think, like, what do you have to fucking think about? He's like, one, two, was there a third? He goes, not yet. I think Schwartz is lying out of his ass. I think this dude has definitely had a threesome. I think even probably Joseph was involved at one point. I do not buy this dude has not had a threesome. But it would be the cutest threesome ever. He'd be like, am I doing this right? I don't know. I've got to go put Butters and Gordo away. They get weird seeing my pubes. Schwartz in a talking head goes, every story from all of my friends from all walks of life all walks of life are like, threesomes are never as good as you might think they are. I'm not ruling it out, but I'm just saying, like, I think it's a bucket list thing, right? They talked about threesomes weirdly a couple times in the scene, so much so that I was like, are they giving Schwartz a threesome scene? Like, are we about to get to Kyle Chan's whiskey party and something weird happens in like the mop closet? Oh, it's crazy. There's no room in here. Oh. Anyways, Sheena's like, Schwartz, this is like the worst poured beer ever. Anyways, it's a pouring beer and Dan like kind of jokes with Schwartz. So they're kind of getting along. And Lala then, you know, the roving reporter goes, Dan, so do you do like bartending at night and then you train during the day? And Dan's like, well, I train 7 days a week and I bartend Friday and I do double shifts on Saturday. Lala really not understanding what how labor actually works. And Lala's like, how many clients do you have right now? And he's like, I don't know, a bunch. Well, would you like the training to become like the main focus where you don't have to like, or do you enjoy bartending? And Lala then keeps going, how old are you, Dan? And he's like 40. By the way, I thought this dude was younger than 40. I was like, I've got to start working out because I thought this guy was way younger than 40. So he's 40 and Lala's like, 40? Have you ever been married? And he goes, no. What was your last relationship? Probably 5 or 6 years ago. How come that one ended? Shut the fuck up. But Lala, you should be thrilled. This is somebody sharing their life, showing up to filming, right? So Ariana's doing a scene with Dan. Isn't that good for the show? Isn't that for the good of the show? I don't remember these scenes with Randall once you split up. I don't remember anything with Randall because he was off the show. This is the stuff that I hate, is that this is what makes me mad, is that you don't even look at what the person does do. Like, I didn't think we would see Dan at all this season. And here he is. Dan, you can tell, is like taking it all in good stride. And he doesn't seem like a performer. He's not performative. He's just kind of answering point blank. And Lala goes, after the wedding, when was the next time you guys got to see each other? And Schwartz is like, are you about to hit him with a where do you see yourself in 5 years? Don't do that. And Lala goes, I always love to ask people. And Schwartz is like, don't do that. And Lala goes, I need to know. And Schwartz looks at her and goes, don't do that. Lala on a talking head goes, Dan is handling this interrogation like a champ. He's not breaking a sweat. And Schwartz goes, let's get to the hard-hitting questions. Have you ever had a threesome? It's not even a joke. He literally says the threesome thing again. This, like, Schwartz is legitimately thinking about threesomes. Ariana and Dan laugh. Lala continues in a talking head, but I will be damned if another person comes into this group dating someone and they end up being an asshole. I shall be the only asshole in this group from here on out. Like, who are the fuck? You aren't the fucking, like, king of this castle. You are not collecting dues for this group. Do not worry. And by the way, you're going to be damned if somebody comes in here that's an asshole. That to me is going to ruin the show. There's going to be plenty more assholes that we've not even met on Vanderpump Rules. New assholes. You'll probably date one of those assholes. Like, give me a break. Don't act like this is out of the kindness of your heart. You're protecting Ariana. You're literally trying to find holes to poke in this dude. Lala goes, we're all asking the questions now. What are your intentions? Why are you here? And Lala goes, do you want kids, Dan? And he goes, well, I think I do. And Lala's like, well, whenever someone says, I think I do, I'm like, you should definitely hold on to them. That's not for everybody, Lala. That's just you love motherhood. That's not everybody's journey. Dan politely smiles and Lala's like, you're like big commitment. And this is a scene, they had an extended version on Peacock. So this is a scene from that. And Brock's like, Allie's got a question, Dan. And Allie's like, What were you first attracted to about Ariana? And Dan's like, well, we were about to go deep. I guess we're about to go deep. Well, you know, there was a big group talking and, you know, they have some issues with race and all that stuff. And she's just so empathetic to that. And so I dealt with a lot of that growing up in Europe. And those are the fights that you would get into because someone would say a racial slur to me. And I don't take that lightly. And she empathized with that and could speak to that. And she doesn't need to do that. And like seeing her do that was actually what attracted me to her. And Allie's like, ah, that's sweet. Like Allie just like going like, what's your moon sign? Ariana in a talking head goes, I love that. In the scene, Dan goes, well, she did look good in that dress too. And Lala goes, Ariana's ass do fit nice in a dress too. Thank you, Lala. Allie goes, okay, so reverse question. What did you, Ariana, see in Dan? And Dan's like, actually, I've never asked you that. Isn't it weird sometimes when you watch these shows and a couple will be like, I never asked her that. And I'm always like, that's one of those questions I think is so on the nose that you talk about within the first year of like what attracted you to somebody else. And it always, I mean, maybe I'm crazy, but it always shocks me when you hear on the show, you're like, well, we never talked about that. I'm like, really? Ariana says he has the nicest smile ever. And you know, we were in a group gathering and I said to my friends that Dan guy is pretty hot. And Lindsay, who I think it was her wedding, Lindsay's husband is like, well, do you think you guys might chat at the wedding? And I was like, oh no, that's too soon. But then all the girls were chatting about deep stuff and Dan would contribute to the conversation. Like he was really listening, not busting in and overpowering, but really nice. And I really liked that. And Brock's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Just listening and not overpowering. What are you talking about? Real men overpower the conversations. Come on. Ariana and I talking head goes, Dan has a great perspective on life. And I was really drawn to his personality. Like he knew me before knowing me. And she tells him that he's a really good listener. And a talking head, she says, all of those little moments, it just says that he's thinking of me and wanting to be with me. And it made me smile. DJ James Kennedy speaks up. Well, have you chatted with Sandoval yet? Ariana frowns. Dan shakes his head no. And he's like, what do you think of him? Do you think he's got a big wiener? James smiles, kind of goading the situation. Dan's like, look, I don't know him. Right, but I know what he's done. Yeah, so, you know. Right, of course, yes, guys night. And Dan is like, I'm not hearing great things. Sheena's just watching and listening. Brock isn't looking up from the table. Also, I do want to point out, why is Brock wearing green pleather, like a green pleather button-up shirt? It looks like the thickness of a leather jacket, but it's a green pleather. But I'm just like, this poor guy. I always think about just the amount of heat emanating off people's bodies on reality television because I'm just deeply disturbed. And this is just so, I was like, that's going to be hot as balls. Sheena's like, last night I put a new thing in perspective for Tom. I said, have you ever thought about weaponizing Ariana's mental health on top of what you already did? And it was like in the moment. And Brock's like, for Ariana and for all you guys, she did it for all you. For all you. Sheena stuck up for all you and talked about it. And Sheena's like, and it felt like I saw the mask fall a little bit. And he really thought about it. And he was like, I really need to think about that. Like, oh my God, how the fuck did I not see that? And Kitty's like, how many times are we going to keep believing this man's genuine tears? And Brock's like, he has a fucking friendship with her. That's, you guys keep dismissing. He has a friendship with Sheena. And Kitty's like, I don't believe a damn word, a damn tear, a damn nothing that comes out of him. Katie really coming in with great timing there. I do want to also talk about, like, Tom is probably a genuine person, but there is a performative nature to Tom that we've all seen on this show throughout the years. And part of, like, I always joke about, like, Elton John playing Rocket Man. It's like when Sandoval cries, that's one of his greatest hits. You know, the genuine tears that I'm really feeling. And we know now through all of the interviews he's done this past year, how aware he is of the camera. So if you put two and two together, it does read performative. You know, I would actually really almost try to clock and count the moments that you have with Tom away from the camera. But even then, it's, you know, that New York Times interview, it really does seem like he just always pictures the camera on him. I don't know. It's really fascinating. I really wonder what a therapist would, how they would dissect this and what he said and what he said in that interview. Anyways, Katie and I talking now goes, everyone's trying to make this whole Sandoval situation way more nuanced than it actually is. When a guy fucks over your friend, fuck the guy. And yeah, abso-fucking-lutely, right? Right? Totally. But I will say, and I want to try to be fair to everybody, and this isn't a knock against Katie, but I will say Katie did sleep with Max Boyens, and Max Boyens did kind of, according to Dana Cathan, kind of fuck her over in a way. So it just goes to show we're all human. We all make mistakes. I think what she's, you know, what the brilliant part of this sentence is here is that everybody is trying to make this way more nuanced. It's like everybody's trying to make this, you know, even Sandoval tried to make the relationship with Rachel way more nuanced. Oh, it was a love set from the beginning of time. It was Romeo and Juliet with a galaxy light. No, you were fucking horny, dude. You were horny. Like, it's like DJ James Kennedy. It was a fuck fest. That's what I think it was. A fuck fest. Anyway, Schwartz is like, Tom's not a trash person. He's a good person who did a trash thing. And Ariana goes, a trash thing? I was even like, oh, Schwartz, what the fuck? Ariana's like, a trash thing? And Schwartz is like, a very trash thing? And Ariana goes, you got to watch what table you're at if you're going to talk like that. And Schwartz looks down and Ariana, you know, Schwartz in his head like, fucking Ariana, fuck this, dude. Ariana goes, If you want to talk like that and say he did a trash thing, a horrible thing then. A thing? A singular one thing, Tom? And George is like, a lot of things? I don't know. Anyways, I'm just saying, threesomes. Ariana just stops and stares at him. Schwartz really truly is the king of just stepping in it, and then he'll immediately back off. I don't know, dude. I'm an idiot. Lala on a talking head goes, Ariana tries to put on this cool girl vibe, but she cares. A lot. She says this like it's a knock on Ariana, and once again, I'm like, yeah, Lala, that's a good thing, right? Right? I wonder if we could also point to another example of a girl that tries to put on a cool girl act. Is there anybody else besides Ariana that tries to put on a cool girl strong act? I don't know. Let me know if you guys think of somebody. Maybe. It sounds familiar. Ariana goes, well, watch how you talk like that in front of me. And Brock is looking at Ariana like, ah, women. Lala continues in a talking head. Once she gets out of this, Sandoval is the monster and Ariana is the victim. She'll have to go through a mourning process, and I just don't think she wants to deal with that. I mean, there's an element potentially of truth, right? But I don't think Ariana is carrying herself as a victim. Ariana is literally just saying, like she did from the beginning, this guy doesn't get access to me in a personal way. That's it. That's it. I feel like I'm just going, it's like bashing your head against the wall again and again, expecting a different result. Like this to me is just proves even what Katie said even more of we're trying to make this a lot deeper than it is. But Lala is painting Ariana to be this victim. Ariana is not painting herself to be the victim, unless the show is just not showing us this. Katie to Brock goes, you haven't been there for like my entire lived experience, Brock, actually lived experience. So no, I haven't been here for none of your guys' lived experience in this group. I grew up on a pig farm. And Katie's like, I know, so stop. And Brock's like, no, I want to fight for my wife. And she feels some type of way. Ariana jumps in and goes, she feels the same way, Brock. He's also fighting for your wife. And Brock's like, okay, all right, I'm sorry. Okay. Once again, Tom is the same guy that fucking yelled at your wife two episodes ago. It's just so weird. I can't tell if it's a boys club or if it's something more, or Brock, you know, in interviews past, it says like, I was trying to start stuff, you know, I was trying to bring the group together. Like, I don't know. And you also have to then think, you know, from pulling out a little bit and think about these people trying to keep a job, you know, and Brock wasn't a cast member last year and Brock was a minor cast member the year before. And finally he has this kind of opportunity. So part of this, you would almost speculate that he's really trying to earn his spot. He's really trying to make it work. So, and I know that might be an excuse and I'm not excusing what he's saying, but there is this element of Brock's really trying to be a part of this cast. So Ariana goes, because she is defending her against the behavior that has been exhibited towards her by him. And she looks at Schwartz, who is hiding his face. The trash person, she says. Lala, pursing her lips hard, is like, it's okay. You're defending your wife. You're sensitive to her emotions. And Katie's like, I know, but defend it. Defend it to the people who are actually doing the things. Not to me. I'm not the fucking one. I will say, like, guys do not like when girls stand up for themselves in this way. Like I always say, you know, people have a lot of issues sometimes with Katie or even with Ariana. And it's like, you just don't like the package of somebody saying how they feel and kind of being right a lot of the times. Anyways, Brock takes a deep breath. Schwartz rubs his head. Dan pulls Ariana towards him and gives her a quick kiss. Dan's hair still looking glorious. Okay, so we're back at the Argonaut Hotel where they're all staying. And this was a scene in the extended version on Peacock. We've got Joseph. Joseph is there. She has made it to San Francisco and she is eating food in her room. She was like, this is all I want. I'm so hungry and thirsty. Tom knocks on the door. He's like, Joseph. And, she's like, T-Money, what up? And then they just start squealing. They're like, And she tells Schwartz, Schwartz, you got to stop wearing colors that match your skin tone and your hairstyle. The hair that I completely burn off your head. Because he's wearing like white that blends in with his skin and his hair. He lets out another screech. Like Schwartz is like, Joseph. And he's like, oh, Joe, we went to this iconic spot in Chinatown. Oh my God, Joe, you've got a view of the wharf here. And Joe's like, yeah. And then he's like, I got stuffed animals for Gordo and one for Butters. And then Joe is like, Schwartz, can you iron my clothes for me? I don't know how to iron. And then Schwartz is like, Joseph, are you wearing makeup? And Joe's like, fuck you. I like that this is like an Ally Sheedy Breakfast Club moment, except that Schwartz does not care for it at all. He's like, Joe wearing makeup, it's like me wearing suits. It just doesn't work. It looks like a little girl that busted into her mom's makeup. You know, it doesn't work for her. I was like, Schwartz should iron the fuck out of her dress and like burn holes into it like she did with his hair. And then he's like, Joseph, let's have fun tonight, dude. Let's have fun. At this point, it does feel a little like Schwartz is trying to minimize trouble, like minimize, you know, like I think he realizes, well, I don't think he realizes, he put her in a really bad position. In fact, the brilliant Kate Arthur, who I love so much. She writes for Variety. She tweeted this and it makes so much sense to me. What Tom Schwartz did to that poor lost fool, Joe, intentionally setting her up to look like the craziest freak at every turn, is the most diabolical thing I've seen on television in years. Logan Roy is shaking. I agree with that so wholeheartedly, is that Schwartz really did hang her out to dry. Whether, like, you know, Joe is weird, Joe is all of that stuff. And yeah, I have not loved that she loves to do these Instagram lives and talk about sex with Schwartz. But everybody on this show is looking to sell merch, looking to have their moment, their 15 minutes. So you can't fault her for that. I don't really necessarily agree with a lot of her, you know, like, be nice, everybody. It's like, you're not even that nice. Like, let people feel how they want to feel. But Schwartz, at the end of the day, and Schwartz is a smart guy, he really hung her out to dry in multiple scenes this season. And even in the scene in the episode when they get to Kyle Chan's thing about throwing her in the lion's den with Katie. Like, how did you think that was going to go? Like, I don't know. But at certain points, I feel like he's almost being overly enthusiastic of like, oh, we're great, aren't we? No, we're good. Don't freak out. No, I'm going to date a lot of other people, but don't freak out. Like, it's okay. No, no, we're good, right? Let's have fun tonight. I feel like he kind of coasts by a lot on that. I think Schwartz is way smarter than anybody on this show gives him credit for, because he says so many doofy things. But and I don't necessarily think he's diabolical. He's somebody that seems to understand human emotions in a way that Tom Sandoval doesn't, but it's still weird. It's very, very weird with the Joe thing. And I think Joe is there because she wants to be on the show, but I think Joe thinks she really, truly is in love with Tom Schwartz. Anyways, then Brock and Sheena, we go to their room, and Brock has put out a room of seduction. There is rose petals leading to the bed with a red rose petal heart on the bed. And guess what's in the middle? That's right, folks. We got chocolate covered strawberries. We got apples. We got champagne because of Sheena's hit song with the 27s, Apples. We've had flashback to earlier when Brock whispered to the hotel agent. He's like, my wife's performing tomorrow night at Treasure Island. Is there a way we can set something up for the room? And Brock's like, you know, in the scene, he's like, I love you, babe. And Sheena's like, thanks, honey. I love you, too. Did I get you? Were you surprised? And Sheena's like, yeah. And he's like, I was about to fight everybody at the noodle bar because of where you are with Tom. And Sheena's like, well, I'm glad that I at least got that conversation out of the way with Ariana. And I mean, she seemed receptive enough. I'm in Groundhog's Day, man. How many conversations do you need to get out of the way with Ariana? But Sheena worries. She worries. So I understand, but it so many conversations. Brock's like, did you tell her that you made things up with Tom? And Sheena's like, well, it's not that I made up things with him, honey. We had another step forward and a breakthrough conversation. So yeah, I said that. I didn't say he and I are best friends again because we're not. And Brock is like, okay. Next, we go over to Sandoval's messy room. Like, truly, like, this is I got scared that Maya the dog was there. I was like, is there any shit? Where are your laxative pills, Tom? He's back from a long day of figuring out his next outfit, and Schwartz knocks on the door, and Sandoval's like, yes? And Schwartz wears a hoodie and shades. He's like, did you leave your door open for me? And Sam's like, yes. And Schwartz is like, my God, you love Red Bulls. There's like half order, like half eaten fries, empty Cokes and Diet Cokes. Sue P8 left the bread bowl completely untouched. But it is so much that I'm like, were other people in this room? Because this seems like excessive for just Tom. And Schwartz is like, what up, dude? Hey, dude, we just went up and had probably one of the best meals. But Ariana and Dan were there, and I feel like I got to know him better. He's fucking great. And Sandoval just stares at Schwartz, and Schwartz is like, it was fun. And Sandoval's like, yeah, well, Ariana's got good taste in men, dude. I know Sandoval is like half being like jokey, but it's just still so weird. And Schwartz laughs. He's like, oh, yeah, she does. We kept it pretty civilized, I think. Yeah? Yeah, Brock spoke from the heart, and he felt like the girls were being hypercritical of Sheena for just talking to you. Back in Sheena's room, she gets on a FaceTime call with Lisa Vanderpump. Why couldn't Lisa skedaddle down to San Francisco for the season finale? He was like, I've got so many things to do with Wolf. Nick Lane says we need to pick out new antlers for the lighting fixtures. Lisa tells Sheena, good luck tonight with your band, the 27s. And she's like, thank you. You look pretty, Sheena. Are you ready to give them apples? Somebody behind the scenes are like, Lisa, before you get on this FaceTime call, remember her song is called Apples. Apples? Why? It doesn't make sense. Sheena's like, yeah, pretty soon. Lisa's like, how's everybody getting along? Okay. Do I need to guilt anybody into being nice to Sandoval? And she was like, oh, that's pretty good. I did have a good conversation with Sandoval last night. I felt like we were taking a couple steps forward where he actually listens to me. Look, Sheena, you've got a long history there. And she was like, I know. Let me ask you a question, dear Sheena. Do you still love him? Sheena goes, yeah. Well, there's your answer. Okay, time out. What the literal fuck? Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, it's so romantic. Well, then you must run to him, Sheena. Run to him. Tell him how you feel. Like, what the fuck? Do you still love? Can we slow it down? Like, do you still love him? What? Was this like a script that Lisa was originally going to tell Rachel if she like came on and then she had to switch it last minute? It makes no fucking sense to me. Do you still love him? There's your answer, dear girl. Run to that man. Hold on to those painted nails and tell him how you feel. I was like mystified. I was like, what? Like, that is another moment where I felt like Kintal, like, what the fuck are you telling her, Lisa? Are you fucking kidding me? Sheena's just a friend. What are you talking about? Please stop messing around with these kids. Please, I can't believe that. In Katie's room, Lala is just, you know, yapping on. She's like, Sheena's got so much pressure on her, and it seems like she's going to Ariana to have some sort of, like, approval. I will, like, that's also what friends do. But anyways, Katie's like, Ariana's not going to be like, I really support this. I think you guys have a beautiful friendship and you should totally work on it. And Lala goes, I don't think that's what she's looking for. I think she's looking for her to say, you know what? I acknowledge the fact that you guys have a long relationship. If you feel you need to go and work something out with him. So just that, you know, that you like that, you know, you that just that, you know, that you and I aren't going to change. Ariana does do that though. I'm losing my fucking mind. Did Lala not watch the season either? Like, I feel like we've heard that repeatedly. Katie's like, I don't think that's what's going to happen at the time. And Lala goes, right. So that's pressure on Sheena. Sheena now has to live her life for someone else who is thriving, but has made like rules for everyone. Grow the fuck up. Grow the fuck up. Everybody needs to grow the fuck up. I need to grow the fuck up. Lala needs to grow the fuck up. Are you fucking kidding me? Grow the fuck up. This kind of shit, like, this is the kind of, like, this is, like, Lala is being soft. Her softness is reserved for Sheena. This softness she could actually have with Ariana as well. He's like, oh yeah, Ariana has had her live her life kind of being in the shadow of Tom Sandoval, who has made most of the rules and how he operates in a relationship most of the time. It, like, I mean, like, I just feel like it's so weirdly hypocritical. Katie's like, well, there's no rules. And I think there's a little bit of, this is a little bit more of a nuanced situation. Katie in the talking head says, Sheena really thinks that she should be the exception to this boundary that Ariana's created for herself of not wanting to have mutual friends with Tom. But Tom did not make a mistake. He made choices every day, over and over, for like months, and has nothing but doubled down on those choices that he made over and over and over and over. And Lala knows this. Lala knows this. But Lala is so locked into this narrative that she's trying to push that Ariana is some undercover bad person. And Lala, you just, I mean, and if she is this undercover bad person, you have failed because you have not been able to bring it out and show us on the show this horrible, horrible person. Katie goes, if she wants to be friends with Sandoval, go ahead. And then he can dump all over her when he wants and take advantage of her as a friend and be a shitty person. Like, if that's the kind of friends you need in your life, go for it. And that's it. Lala doesn't even like Tom Sandoval. Like, what does this take away from Lala that Ariana gets attention? What does this take away from her? In Sandoval's room, Schwartz is like, how was your conversation with Sheena last night? And Sandoval's like, it was really good, dude. She told me maybe to consider apologizing to Ariana for revealing some of the stupid mental health stuff. You know, I think that's something I can do for sure, dude. I'll never apologize for fucking one of her friends, though. No way, dude. That's why they call me OJ Simpson Scott Peterson. It's me, Darth Sandoval. Schwartz is like, I think it would be cathartic, but she might tell you to fuck off in the moment. But I think deep down, it might still mean something to her. It won't mean something to her because Sandoval doesn't mean it. And this is what I've been telling you since the Nick Vile interview and the New York Times interview, is that some of this season, he impeded his own redemption arc. Not only do we get the hot mic moment at the end, but we got a spoiler alert when he did that interview with Nick Vile and the New York Times interview after the season had stopped filming, where we know that Tom has not grown. He does not realize what he has done still. I think there is hope for Tom, obviously, or he doesn't have to ever understand in his life. It doesn't really matter to us, but if he truly is trying to look at his behavior instead of just doing breath work and cold plunges, you could start at the actual situation that he created. And the more he hangs on to the narrative that he has created for himself, the more the audience will never get past it. His redemption arc will just be something that is a TV script rather than something realistic. And we won't buy it because he doesn't buy it. Sandoval goes, I'm not trying to like be buddy-buddy with Ariana, dude. She doesn't even fucking get pins and batteries. I know that's not going to happen, Schwartz. I just want the tension to maybe subside a little bit. I do want to point out, we are still 3 months after this fact. Schwartz is like, well, just definitely don't go in there and get defensive. Or if she comes at you, don't. I know, dude, I'm not going to. I don't want to do that. I'm not stupid. I'm just going to be like, hey, I'm really trying to do real work on myself and take actual action, dude. Did you see the breathwork episode, dude? Did you see me on the treadmill, dude? You think I take these laxative pills for my health? I'm working on myself, dude. Oh, did you go to therapy? Shut up, dude. I'm doing it my way, dude.
That is the end of part one of the Vanderpump finale. Now switch over to part two for the exciting conclusion.
So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies. Thank you to our sponsor, Hulu. Their new reality series, Vanderpump Villa, is an unfiltered portrait of what it is like to work in the glamorous French countryside while striving to impress Lisa Vanderpump. As guests arrive for their lavish vacation, the Vanderpump Villa staff are pushed to their limits, ready to cater to every whim, all the while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Betches.